everybody, it's episode 230 of PodQuest.
Yeah!
Yeah, Richie's not here.
Sorry, yeah, Richie usually is the one that mouths off first after you intro it.
It's Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. I'm Chris. With me tonight is Druten.
Hello.
And then our wives, Erica.
Hola.
And Sarah.
Hi.
Like I said, Richie isn't here. He said he was busy. I don't know what he's busy doing.
Game sauce.
He did not elaborate.
Masturbating.
Yeah.
I was going to say Monster Hunter, but okay, that works too.
Nah, he's over Monster Hunter.
It seems like he doesn't want to do whatever he's doing either.
Yeah.
So it's probably something like house-related or
family-related
or I don't know. But yeah, not a lot of news this week. Actually, almost no news. I had to really kind of scrounge to get stuff. No game news. So...
I mean, there was the Mortal Kombat stuff.
Right. Yeah, but it was just like a reveal of a game that neither of us play, and I know you guys don't play it either.
I mean, I like Mortal Kombat.
When was the last time you played Mortal Kombat, though?
So the last time I played Mortal Kombat.
Oh, wait, I lied. That's Street Fighter.
Wait, was it Mortal Kombat or is it Street Fighter at my old eye doctor?
Was it in Pensauken?
Yeah.
I used to go to the same eye doctor when I was a kid. It was Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's an awesome there. Eye doctor. Do they still have Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, it's still there, and it's still free to play. So you can just play it.
Yeah.
Like while you're waiting. Pediatric only?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the waiting room. It's a Mortal Kombat cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I might have to go to that doctor.
They also have a really, really old soda machine. Like,
does it have real soda
no.
in it?
Okay, like, it's so good. Old. There's one that's like mystery.
Oh, that's scary.
It's usually just whatever stuff was left over that didn't fit into the slots, they right. fill into the mystery slot. So like if they buy like 12 packs and it can only fit like 11, they just then take the 12th soda out of all of the 12 packs and put it in the mystery slot.
Okay, I'm okay with mystery flavors of Airheads. I'm not so okay with mystery flavors of soda.
Yeah, it's basically just whatever, like, if the machine has, like, Coke, Sprite, root beer, and Diet Coke, the mystery is going to be one of those four, most likely.
That's exciting.
Unless they were feeling adventurous and bought, like, a case of Dr. Pepper and just put the whole case of Dr. Pepper in there or something.
Nobody likes Dr. Pepper.
I like Dr. Pepper.
It is so gross.
But yeah, so, like Drew said, there was a Mortal Kombat reveal. They revealed some characters and...
What's the one that Ronda Rousey's voicing?
She's Sonya. Ronda Rousey is going to be in it as a character.
Well, she's just voicing Sonya. Yeah.
She also motion capped it, I guess.
Okay. Because it doesn't look like her. Like,
yeah.
It's not like they made it look like her. Because I checked it out. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, apparently from what I was reading, she did motion capture for it. But I guess they're doing like a weird, Raiden's boss god is pissed that Raiden let shit get so out of hand, so now they're involved and they're kind of going through time and fixing something.
There's a storyline.
Mortal Kombat has a very deep, really weird and dumb storyline.
Nobody ever talks about
most obviously. Fighting games, once they get past like two or three, like, there's a rabbit hole so deep you can't see the bottom of story.
Like, in Tekken, people have been thrown into a volcano.
And then come back later on, and...
One of the Mortal Kombat games Liu Kang was a zombie in, because he got killed in the game before, and then resurrected it for the next game, but as a zombie. I think that's, like, deception. He gets killed in Deadly Alliance, and then is a zombie in Deception.
Maybe
he's a zombie in Deadly Alliance and he got killed in the opening cutscene, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, but
because I've never played... The only time I've ever played any, like, fighting games is just to, like playing it at a cabinet back.
Mm.
Okay, so we need to leave everybody in.
All three people. This needs to just be awkwardly unmentioned.
I'm really excited about this right now.
I got Erica a infinity scarf. Just it's connected that has a pocket in it that you can put stuff in.
Cell phones.
And she's sitting here putting her cell phone in it and is very excited about it.
Fits with my case on. It's really exciting.
You guys should talk closer to the microphone.
Am I not close enough?
Yeah. You basically you don't want to have your mouth on it, but you want to be as close to it as you can be.
Playing with my pocket.
And, you know, they changed up They're changing up the meters for this one.
Yeah, which, I mean, I didn't know the last one had meters because I never played 10.
Yeah.
Or X, I don't know.
It's nothing. 10.
I mean, it is the 10th one, but I didn't know if they were calling it X or not. Because I've heard people call it Mortal Kombat X, and I've also heard people call it Mortal Kombat 10. So, it's like the iPhone. It was the iPhone 10, but it's the iPhone X.
I think that all depends on whether or not people are smart enough to know.
Well, it's also just a matter of, like, marketing teams. Like, the game may have been marketed as Mortal Kombat X, even though it's the 10th one.
So, like, Mortal Kombat went 1, 2, 3, 4, Deadly Alliance, Deception, something.
Infinity Pocket.
I don't know what 7 or 8 are.
Yeah, neither do I.
And then I think 9 is just called Mortal Kombat.
Honestly, past Mortal Kombat 3, I didn't really follow it, other than I played Sub-Zero, the side-scrolling adventure game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise news-related, a lot of movie, TV-related stuff. Well, not a lot. There's four things. Unless you saw something else actually worthwhile.
I don't know what your four things are, but there were, like, the Oscar nominations.
Well, that's one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
And, like, honestly, I only pointed out two of the Oscar nominations because everything else is movies I've never heard of. So Black Panther is actually up for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Along with, like, seven or eight other movies that I have normally I've at least heard of the movies that are up for Best Picture. I don't know what any of the other movies even are. Like,
I would say I feel as though Black Panther, it definitely deserves a nomination of some sort. It was a very refreshing superhero.
Yeah.
I have literally heard of every single...
Okay, yeah, I don't know what any of them were.
So, you didn't... Bohemian Rhapsody?
Was that up for Best Picture?
Yeah. We never got to see that.
No, we didn't. By the time when we started looking for it, it was only showing twice a day.
On Redbox.
Yeah, so Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite. The Favorite had... I don't know what the premise was, but it had... Emma Stone in it. Black Panther, Black Klansman looked good. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to see it. But Black Klansman had... Am I still not close enough?
There you go.
Black Klansman had Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver.
Yes, Adam Driver in it.
And it's Spike Lee's first Best Director nomination.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was surprised to see... Like, he was nominated for Best Director, and I saw Spike Lee's first. I'm like, wow, that's kind of surprising with how much people love Spike Lee joints.
Yeah, the only other movie that I recognize is A Star is Born, and that's Bradley Cooper.
I thought that one wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
I don't think that's up for Best Picture.
That's,
like, up for, like, some other stuff. Like, Lady Gaga got nominated for it, and I think it was, like, Best Screenplay also.
Huh.
I would argue to say that I've seen so many different previews of that movie, I don't need to see the movie.
It's also the fifth time that movie has been remade.
Oh, I heard Barbara Streisand, yeah, she did a version of it.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure this is...
It's at least the third, because Barbara Streisand was a remake of a movie from the 50s, and that was in the 70s, and then this...
I think it was made in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and now.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure this is the fifth time.
I'm going to go ahead and say the movie industry is running out of ideas.
It looks like four. So there was a 1937 version.
Oh, okay. 37, 50, 70.
54. 1954 that had Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Right.
1976.
Which was the Barbara Streisand one.
Which was the Barbara Streisand one. And then 2018. But I think the original one was, she wasn't a singer. I think the first two, they were actresses, and the last two, they were singers.
Well, I mean, it would make sense for Judy Garland to sing. Like,
right.
So.
But I'm not 100% sure. I know I heard them talk about it, and it was like, it's a different.
So given the
it's the same storyline, but different kind of whether she's an actress or a singer.
You know, that's kind of one of the things that makes me wonder. So given the fact that Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand played in two former versions of this movie, really, I don't know. Is Lady Gaga really the best person to reprise that role in our modern time?
It was supposed to be Beyoncé.
Okay,
Bradley Cooper actually asked Beyoncé and she turned it down.
Yeah.
Okay, I've also heard Lady Gaga was amazing.
I mean,
she can sing.
She's a great singer. She's an okay actress, based on my experience of watching her in American Horror Story. But what I'm what I'm trying to say is those are two women who are iconic in their industries.
But you know what?
Lady like, Gaga's iconic.
Gaga's up there.
She, like, she is iconic at this point. And keep in mind, like, in the 70s, like, Barbra Streisand wasn't iconic. Like, she was still...
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
She was the, I mean, she wasn't the Lady Gaga of that era, but, like, that's where she was at that point as far as, like, fame goes.
I'm also just not a Lady Gaga fan, to be honest.
A Star is Born is up for Best Picture.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I didn't think it was.
It's Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice.
Which I think Roma is like a Netflix movie.
I think so. One of them is. I remember seeing
that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Roma. But the other one that I noted was Into the Spider-Verse is up for Best Animated Picture.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It's going to lose to Pixar, but it's nominated.
What's Pixar's movie?
Incredibles 2.
I didn't get to see it, but I loved the original one.
It's not as good as the original, but it's good.
The second ones never are.
I would argue to say that it's equal to the original one. They picked up from where it left off.
And oh, yeah, no, like, they did a really good job, but I think it just wasn't at, like, the reason I say it wasn't as good is because, like, The Incredibles was kind of, like...
Well, it was the first time they ever did.
Good, but it wasn't, like...
I think The Incredibles was incredible.
The Incredibles was the first movie of that particular type of story that Pixar has ever tried to do before or anything like that. And no other cartoon movie within those companies are superhero based.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, I think that was the first one that focused on humans too.
Their human side. Their normal side.
Like, cause like, yeah, there were humans in like a Toy Story, but they were kind of secondary characters to the toys.
Right.
Like this, I think that might have, cause Ratatouille came after that.
Right.
I think Cars was the year before it. Finding Nemo was a couple years before it.
Well, considering that it's Pixar, are we counting movies or just
Pixar?
No, just the Pixar
movies.
Okay, then yeah.
Because it's still, even though Disney owns Pixar, they're still Pixar movies.
Right.
They're Disney Pixar movies.
Because yeah, it was Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo.
I feel like
that was the first person movie. Like, people...
Yeah, because at the time, like, so Toy Story and Bug's Life, there were a couple years between them. Like, the first Toy Story was 95. I think Bug's Life was 98.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it wasn't until 2000, 99 or 2000, I forget when Toy Story 2 came out. Maybe 99. It wasn't until there where they almost hit annual. And then, like, I think by The Incredibles, it may have hit, like, a movie a year for quite a while there.
Well, so Toy Story 2 is 99. Monsters, Inc. is 2001. Finding Nemo, 03. Incredibles, 04. Cars, 2006, Ratatouille, 2007, WALL-E, 2008.
Oh, wow. So Cars...
Up, 2009, Toy Story, 2010.
Okay, so it actually wasn't... Yeah, I thought it was sooner than that.
All the way up till...
It's just a dumb move.
The first one's not as bad as the second one turned out to be.
From Cars, there was a seven-year run where there was a movie every year, from Cars to Monsters University. Then there was 2 years between that and Inside Out.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then The Good Dinosaur was 5 months later.
Well, because The Good Dinosaur was supposed to come out before that, and then it kept getting pushed back and delayed and stuff like that. So I think that got delayed by, like, over a year, and that's why those two movies end up coming out the same time.
Yeah.
Because the year that there was nothing was supposed to be The Good Dinosaur, if I remember correctly.
Probably.
Well, also the thing, too, about The Incredibles, I think that was the first film where the hair animation on Violet was like a huge thing because she had that long kind of flowing hair.
Yeah.
And when was Incredibles was after Monsters, Inc., right?
It was 04, yeah.
Right. So like Monsters, Inc., you have Sully with this big furry monster, but that's all short hair. That doesn't have to move that much. But Violet was the first character where she had this long black hair that as she moved her head moved and it moved like hair.
When you go to Disney World, there is actually... What park was that in? Was that...
The Pixar thing?
Yeah.
It was in... Hollywood Studios. I was going to call it MGM, but it's not MGM anymore.
Still MGM. I'll still call it MGM.
So when you go there, they actually have a little museum type thing that you can go to, and they show you a movie while you're waiting of the history of Pixar animation from the beginning until now. And in during certain sequences, they really break it down for you, show you how much we create those effects. It's insane.
That was actually a thing we saw in Epcot.
Was it Epcot?
Yeah, so Hollywood Studios had like the Pixar like area with like the ride. Epcot, we ended up seeing that like...
Yes.
Yeah, it was like that short film about
it. I remember now because it was near where they had some of the first flower hedge displays.
Yeah, it was before you get to like the countries in Epcot. Okay. Like where it's still like future world and stuff like that.
Before Eric the Around.
But yeah, I think Into the Spider-Verse is a good nomination for that. And so is Black Panther. Black Panther deserves to be nominated for something, and there's not really another good category for it to fall into.
I mean, it is up for 6 Oscars.
Yeah, it's up for Black
Panther.
No, but I meant like...
Black
like,
what?
No, Panther.
Panther.
I know it's up for like best soundtrack and stuff like that, right?
It was a good
right?
soundtrack.
And like, but I meant like something for the movie itself, which like, because the Oscars, you don't get like best action adventure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or anything like that.
It doesn't break it down that far.
So like best picture or best, I think, comedy musical are like the two.
Yeah, it breaks it out to comedy musical and it's not a comedy or musical.
Not the Oscars. Yeah.
Not the Oscars?
That's only the Golden Globes.
Oh, okay. Is it? Okay.
There is best picture. That's it.
Yeah. Which that is going to be what, if they don't win, there's a good chance that they will, because didn't they win the Golden Globe for Best Picture?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know if it was actually even up.
It might not.
No, I think
I don't remember. But they won for something. The whole cast won for something. I don't remember what it was. But like, they have a good chance, and it comes back to like a lot of, it's kind of like the all black cast.
There's that. It was a really, really refreshing superhero movie. And compared to everything else they've done so far, it basically gave you the ability to envision a different world on our own world.
Right. Really. All the Avengers have been, I mean, Sokovia, is Sokovia a real place?
No.
Yeah, but it's like, Sokovia was like a place that you could imagine, right. Whereas Wakanda is not. Wakanda. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, the Golden Globes haven't happened yet.
Oh.
Yep. They did.
Those were the Emmys?
No, the Golden Globes were like last week.
Okay, I'm on the site and they don't have... Oh, no, I'm sorry. So, when you look at it, it doesn't say anything. You have to actually go into like their website's not very good. So Bohemian Rhapsody won the Golden Globe.
Okay.
Right.
Black Panther was nominated for best drama.
Okay.
And so was Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. But they could have done what a lot of movies do and put themselves in the comedy category because they're more likely, like that's what Get Out tried. Or I don't know if they ended up doing it or not, but it was like rumored they were going to do that. They were going to nominate, put themselves in the running for best comedy.
Right.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Like.
Else can see that, so my face was, I've seen that movie. It's not funny.
So what movies will do if they think that they're like award worthy,
okay,
but aren't going to be able to compete for like best picture or something like that? They will go into like another category that they can loosely fit in, and even if it's like a stretch to
even... Because one guy made a joke at one point in time in the movie.
Basically.
That's
And then
crazy.
because that movie is better than everything else in that category, because it's overall just a better movie, it has a better chance of winning. It's dumb.
I just realized I know what Vice is. It's the movie about Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
It's got Christian Bale, Sam
Rockwell. Oh, I didn't know, even know that was out.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
I think it came out like the last week of December or something.
Oh, so it like was just in that like...
Yeah. It came out so we could get an Oscar nomination this year.
But it looked really funny, and like Christian Bale, oh my God, looks like Dick Cheney. It's insane.
That guy will go to lengths to get into a role, whether it's making himself look like a 70-year-old overweight balding man, or Batman.
Right. Or, like, a 80-pound...
Yeah, what, like, what was that, the Machinist?
Machinist.
Other than the Oscar stuff, though, apparently, because Aquaman did so well, Warner Brothers just doesn't give a fuck about a shared universe anymore. Which...
Shocker.
Doesn't...
That's amazing.
So, that doesn't make sense, though, because there are multiple points in this movie where they bring up the shared universe. Like...
So they're all just every movie from now on is Aquaman.
I think that DC's proven time and time again, though, at this point, that they're just not good at making their own movies. Yeah.
So ever since, since Zack Snyder is kind of like no longer involved anymore, the movies have like trended better. Like Aquaman was actually pretty good.
Aquaman and, was good, and Wonder Woman was good.
So Wonder Woman was the outlier because that was before.
Jason Momoa.
That's the only reason half the women actually went to go say it. But,
like, also, underwater scenes were really cool.
Yeah, like it was a little long, but it was a fun movie. It's the first movie since The Dark Knight Rises for DC to go to hit $1 billion worldwide.
Interesting.
Which like Batman, Superman didn't do it, Justice League didn't do it, so.
I'm a little sad that nobody's bringing up Bumblebee with any so far. That was a good movie.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not going to get nominated for an award, and it's not a DC movie. No.
But it was adorable.
But it is not going to get nominated for an award.
And it was better than most DC movies.
I mean, that's fair, but also no DC movies are nominated for Oscars either.
DC sucks.
I'll tell you what happened at the movie theater that day. Oh, girl. I can't wait what happened at the theater after we saw that.
I mean, I talked about it on the show the week that it happened, so.
It
was showdown in Erica-town.
some little fucking annoying girl kept making noise and talking. Erica shushed her, and at the end of the movie, the mother stood up and says, that was rude. And
we
then told us, like...
needed to get into a screaming match.
It wasn't a screaming match. You guys went back and forth, like, twice.
She was walking away and actively yelling at me, and I was actively yelling back.
But, like, that's literally, the lady said, don't come to the movies if you don't want to hear people talk. Like,
Wait. Then she proceeded to say, I don't appreciate you being so rude. And I said, I don't appreciate you being a bitch. I mean, fair point.
Like, literally, don't come to the movies if you don't want to deal with people talking.
That's the whole point of the movies!
Yeah, like, you don't spend, at this point, $40 to go to a fucking movie.
Because it's $10 a ticket, so you have two people going, that's $20.
It's Drew's face right now.
It's more than $10 a ticket.
Run an ad before every movie that says, shut up!
Basically, shut up and put your cell phones away, and she couldn't comply with either of those two suggestions.
I would have gotten an usher and been like, yo, these people...
I've tried to do that in the past when we've had issues for, and it doesn't go anywhere. The ushers don't come down, they don't say anything, nothing happens.
Manager, well, you're a manager, come here.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have... Normally, it's like twice. Like, you go, and honestly, like, you ask for a manager, and, like, the manager comes, and they... tells them they have to stop it or they will get kicked out if it gets complained about more than once.
I shushed her once and she held on to that for 2 hours. Okay?
Somebody can't let things go.
I think that she was really trying to be that I stood up for my daughter in front of my daughter at the first kind of person, and I just wasn't
they were also the people that waited till the last fucking minute to buy movie tickets because their family was split up across the row.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the dad and the son were on the other side of us.
And so they were having to, like...
No, they weren't talking across us or anything like that. The dad and the son were actually... Or actually, it was a daughter, I think, not a son. The small child was actually, like, better than the older child. Like, a couple of times, like, I think it was a little girl, like, would lean over and, like, whisper something a little louder than necessary about the movie to the dad. But you could tell she was just excited, and he was at least telling her, like... And, like, making her calm down. And it happened, like, twice throughout the whole movie.
The dad had a little vested interest in the movie than the mom did, clearly.
Probably.
But, yeah.
My mom used to... I remember that reminds me when I was, like, to bring a bag of her knitting. And underneath the bag was bags of popcorn, candy, soda, drinks, everything.
That's a prepared mom right
there.
Oh,
my gosh.
I would bring duct tape.
Well, we went to go see Deadpool, and there was an infant.
It's unnecessary.
An infant. And a child.
We went to go see a horror movie one time, a paranormal horror movie that had active moments where people had, like, jump scares, where people would scream. brought an infant.
Well, that's why I missed the Ritz when it was still the Ritz and Voorhees. Right. Yeah. You weren't allowed in there under 16 without a parent or guardian. I think if you were under like 13, you just straight up weren't allowed in.
Mm. And they sold lattes, which were nice.
I think they still do. They still have a coffee
I don't know.
Bar.
We went to go see Hocus Pocus.
Oh, that's right. Over there. It's a straight AMC
now.
Yeah,
it's an AMC now.
When it turned into Carmike, it still had the latte coffee bar thing.
Yeah, but it's an AMC now.
That's
it's nice.
I kind of like the whole half modern, half mainstream, half it had going on when it was the Ritz, though, because it gave you the ability to see more theatrical films than just your cut and dry stuff.
It was nice when we got to go see Hocus Pocus. I was really excited.
Love that movie. Own it on Blu-ray.
We did that for that was our anniversary.
Was it?
We went and saw Hocus Pocus and we went to the Melting Pot.
That's fun. I love, who doesn't love hot cheese?
Into the mic more. You keep whispering.
I'm not whispering. I'm talking at a normal level.
You're not. So you have to talk right into the microphone?
Most people would argue that I'm too loud most.
The thing is, you do the thing that Eric does and your voice will go up and get louder and then you'll get quieter and then and turn your head as you get quieter and then you'll get louder. Like that was would drive cop nuts about Eric. Would fucking turn his head away from the microphone to talk to someone.
Yeah, he'd basically come over.
Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the microphone off the stand and I'm going to walk around with it like the marvelous Mrs. Maisel and just do my own stand-up bit.
Don't do that. But you're not used to talking to the microphone, so like I don't expect you guys to talk exactly.
That's cool.
At like an even level.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Did you, speaking of marvelous Mrs., did you catch... I think I watched all the first season and started watching the second season.
We finished the whole thing and it was amazing.
Where they went to France.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you catch the, here's my therapist. She did wonders for my friend Sylvia Plath.
Oh, yep.
Also, they were putting milk in baskets outside.
Yes.
Yeah, their refrigeration system back in the late 1950s in France apparently was to hang your butter and milk from a basket out of your balcony, which fun. And
So time. Hulu is dropping its prices.
Yeah,
so they're
dropping one of their prices.
Yeah, so Netflix is going up $2 a month.
It's going up depending on what your thing is. So it's like $1 for the low thing, like $2 for the high thing or something like that.
So almost everybody's is going up $2.
Yeah.
Yeah. but Hulu is going from $8 to $6 for the ad-based streaming.
But who wants ads?
So you know what, though?
But it's the same... And this is my biggest complaint with Hulu. It's the same goddamn ad 6 times through the same show.
Yep. But for $6, if you don't have cable and you want to watch current television, like, not a bad deal.
Just pay... What is it? $11.99? It's $11.99.
$12.99.
Is it $12.99?
I believe so. It might be $12.99.
I just canceled it. It's $11.99.
The ad-free?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's literally the difference of paying $6 or double the amount commercials.
I will pay double for commercials. For having no commercials. Fuck commercials.
Now, I'm a spoiled brat, so I agree with you. I will pay the $12 a month, but... I guess I get it. I also am the type of person, though, that even if a show is on regular television, we have to fast forward through the commercials if we DVR'd it because I can't stand to watch the same Geico commercial 15 times. I don't care. I'm not signing up for Geico. Don't want to. Not going to happen. Doesn't matter how many times I watch the ad.
It's the way I look at it. It's the same as having to watch stuff on demand. Like,
right.
If you, like, you can't skip ads on demand, and that's basically what the Hulu ads are. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we have the un-ad-supported thing, but, like, I totally get it. Like, I mean, $6 for ads, like, isn't... Like, that's a good deal. That's cheaper than Netflix was before their prices even went up for their standard streaming.
Yeah, so you just take the time that they're spending to show you those ads. That's saving you $6 to go and pour yourself another drink. No biggie.
Yeah. And then other than... Oh, so the... It's already dropped for new subscriptions.
Okay.
But then existing subscribers that have that plan will see it start to take effect around February 26th. So, soon.
It's next bill cycle.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing of news I have, the Dragon Ball Super movie, Broly, that just came out. It's currently at number 3 in the box office. And then over the weekend, it was number 4. Behind Aquaman, The Upside, and Glass. Today, it beat Aquaman. Aquaman dropped to 4, and it went up to 3. Or I guess it was yesterday, because it's yesterday's numbers.
Glass was the movie your parents were trying to tell us that we should watch.
The M. Night Shyamalan one, with where it's a sequel to Unbreakable and Split.
I don't think that we've actually watched an M. Night Shyamalan movie since, with Mel Gibson in it.
Signs.
No.
Signs.
Signs. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen one since then. Oh, no, that's not true. The Village.
I think that came after Sign. I don't like M. Night Shyamalan movies. I thought Unbreakable was bad, and I didn't bother seeing Split, so I'm not going to see Glass.
Good things about Split.
I appreciate what he tries to do with his movies. Every one of them is different, and I get that everybody's a little tired of his whole, end of the movie twist. But
that's what some people like about it.
But that's, yeah. Again, that is what some people like about it, and I appreciate it. I mean, The Sixth Sense.
That was honestly the only one of his movies I liked.
But each one of them has something unique that it brings to the table, right. And I think that we should appreciate that. They're different from the same stuff that most movies try and force upon you constantly.
Fun fact, he actually lives in the area.
I mean,
yeah, he's from like Westchester. Yeah.
We literally just had A Star Is Born come out with a remake for the what?
A remake
seventh time?
A remake of a remake of a remake of a remake.
So,
oh no, of an original.
So, yeah, exactly. So kudos to M. Night Shyamalan for trying to make original pictures when there are some producers and directors and companies that are just making the same thing with different actors.
Yeah, but I mean, it's. Like, unrelated to Glass, the fact that, like, I think it's, like, the 23rd Dragon Ball movie they've made, released in theaters, it's, like, in just over 1,000 theaters, I think, domestically, whereas, like, Aquaman and Glass and stuff are in 3,000 to 4,000 plus theaters.
Yep.
And it ranked up there with them, even though, I mean, Aquaman's been out for a while now,
right.
But it's still one of, like, the top three movies most weeks, and then Glass just came out last week, too, so...
Okay, how about this? A live-action Dragon Ball Z movie.
They did it. It was awful.
Yeah. Where Vegeta's voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
No.
We already have Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
Also, I know.
No. Vegeta has a very distinct voice, and it's not Ryan Reynolds.
No. I'm just saying, nobody thought that Pikachu would sound like Ryan Reynolds either, and here we have it.
But see, that's funny. Yes. Whereas Vegeta being Ryan Reynolds wouldn't be as funny.
No. It would be hilarious.
No,
it wouldn't.
No, because Vegeta's not a joke cracker.
No.
He's the...
That would be the best part.
I'd more see Goku.
Yeah, I see him as Goku.
Ryan Reynolds as Goku.
See, that's the thing is, I think that Ryan Reynolds, as a person, as an actor, as a entity in general, is more intelligent than Goku is.
I mean, that's Goku's an idiot, and he's the worst character on that show, but that's beside the point. But yeah, that's all the news. Yeah, that's all I got.
Why don't you try harder? No, I'm just kidding. Like, kidding.
I saw this, and it's not anything related to any of that. But apparently, the sweethearts for Valentine's Day aren't coming out this year.
Wow, that's...
Well, the company, the Nesco company.
Yeah, Neko.
Neko?
Neko went under.
It wasn't Nesco?
No, Neko.
That's a city in the middle of Basco. Basto is Nesco. Okay.
But they went under.
Right. I forgot about that.
And somebody bought them. But this year there's not going to be
any
of them. But
I'm sure the ones from last year.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm sure they still have the old ones left. Yeah.
Do you remember last year, the year before, when that company first went out of business? And Johnny bought an entire case of the chocolate ones.
Well, my dad had me buy him two cases off of Amazon.
Yeah.
So last September, Neko was purchased by Round Hill Investments, and the Sweethearts brand was then sold to Spengler Candy Company. And apparently it takes so long to make those that they're not going to be out for this year. It used to take Neko 11 months to produce 8 billion conversation hearts.
Wow.
This is from BuzzFeed.
It takes them 11 months to compress sugar and chalk together?
Well, if you think about it, they have to do that, and then they have to print everything on them. So they have to compress them, dry them, and then print everything on them. And who knows how long they take to dry completely.
Are they enslaving people to do them by hand? Because I thought they could do this with machines.
I mean, they do, but they still have to wait for everything to be hard before they can print on it. Right. If it's still soft, it's just going to ruin them.
It's going to, the edible ink will bleed.
No, yeah, absolutely. That can take, I mean, what, 24 hours?
It might take longer. It depends on how they're storing them.
And that's all, it's also a lot to make.
I mean, 8 billion of those little bitty hearts.
I just don't know what Valentine's Day is going to be without those little sweethearts.
But better because those things are gross.
They are really gross.
It would
gross.
Be like a Christmas without candy canes.
When do you think the first time those were sold?
1832.
That's a random year.
I don't know if they were even making candy at that point.
No, it was probably like 1980 or something like that.
No, I think it was in the 50s. It had to be the 50s.
I'm going to venture to say 1935.
Sarah, do you have a guess?
I'm saying the 50s.
Cobb's guess of 1832 was actually way closer. It was 1866.
I said 1935.
1818.
Oh, I totally missed that. 66. I totally missed that. Okay. So it was 1830. Wow.
And 1866 is when they've been
And some stores still have those original ones.
Probably. And they're probably fine to eat.
They keep them in the same bin as the candy corn.
Absolutely.
I like candy corn.
No, so do I. But I mean, they only made one batch. And it's that same batch every year.
I can't get behind candy corn or those little hearts. I just can't do it.
You get them and you're like, aw, and then you eat one and remember just how much you don't like them.
Corn that tastes like candy.
Yeah, I'm a fan of actually buying the full size Airheads and then just shaking the wrapper until ladies.
But yeah, so no conversation hearts this year. 2019, the year without hearts.
It happens. But what have you guys been up to? Anybody?
Oh, me.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I was thinking on the way over, like, what have I been doing? I've been playing Sims 4 a lot.
I've also been playing Sims 4 a lot because of you.
I know. So the reason I started playing Sims 4 is the reason I forgot I even had Sims 4 and then started playing it again.
Yeah, that was the fun thing. When you went, you were like, I'm going to buy the Sims 4. Oh, we have it?
So apparently there's this challenge. Apparently, like, the new thing with Sims, or I guess maybe not the new things, but new things since I started playing it again, is these challenges. And BuzzFeed, one of their offshoots, was doing the Sims 400 baby challenge.
I saw that, and I thought about it for a second, and I went, that's a lot of babies.
So it's exactly what you think it is.
A lot of babies.
You have to have and raise 100 babies.
Wait, you have to raise them?
Yes.
Is it like, isn't there like a set, like a baby becomes a toddler after X amount of days, a toddler becomes like a child after X amount of days?
Did you buy the kids stuff game pack? The kids stuff. What are you doing?
So I brought up the quote unquote original rule. From a snarky Sims witch on Tumblr. Credit where credit is due. So objective. Your objective for this challenge is to give birth to 100 children in as few generations as possible. The challenge ends as soon as you have your 100th child is born, or if you fail the challenge for breaking rules. So really the rules are you really can't use any cheat codes. So you can't use any of the cheat codes to give you more money, cheat codes to have multiples, have 5 or 6 kids at a time.
Well, not being able to use a cheat for more money just makes The Sims not fun. That means you have to work for everything.
Right, you have to work for everything.
I played The Sims 4 for about a week, and then I wanted to build my own veterinarian clinic, and I got so frustrated with the fact that my Sim was only bringing home, like, $30 an hour or whatever, that I decided to type in the cheat code, gave myself a boatload of money, built the veterinarian clinic, then your character died because you decided to stay out into the sun too long and you're a vampire. I don't know why you wouldn't walk into the house.
Wait, hold up. You control me.
I didn't control you at the time. I was at the veterinarian clinic running our business that we started together. And then I switched back to our house and you're outside throwing a temper tantrum on fire.
Anyway.
Well, listen, if I was on fire, I would not be having a good time either.
She was 10 feet away from the front door.
But you know Sims. Sims just do whatever they want. So anyway, so you create your matriarch.
Well, now Kaylee is grieving for your loss.
Oh, no. So you create a matriarch, and they can have traits, aspirations, whatever. Your matriarch has, you put your matriarch in a lot that they can afford with the starting funds. find a sim to impregnate your matriarch. For the sake of clarity, these sims will be called donors, blah, 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 blah. Continue having children until, in this manner, while following the rest of the... So you can't have... Part of the rules is you can't get pregnant by the same man twice.
Okay, because...
So you have to woo with 100 different guys.
Okay, because the whole thing with Sims 4 is that they branched away from the traditional mindset of... being married.
Yes.
Now you don't need to be married. You just need to slightly like the person to and woo-hoo. You can woohoo for a child upstairs.
You can do it in the
bushes
too.
Yes. On like yes. day three, if you guys got to that certain affection yes. level.
Yeah. So you have to turn off auto aging, things like that. No cheats.
You have to turn off auto aging, but for, yet like, your... you can't use cheats. That is a cheat.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, auto aging. Oh, hold on. Maybe I read it wrong. Oh no, I'm sorry. You can't turn on auto aging. You have to turn. You can leave it on for the NPCs, so you always have a new stock, for lack of a better term.
Can your character not auto age? Like,
no, you have to let her age normally.
So until she's
dies,
she's yummy.
Gonna be having kids.
Yummy.
Anyway, so
nothing.
You can't work outside
than grandma being pregnant.
You can't work outside the home. You can have a job, but you can be self-employed, or you can have a work from home job. But like, you can't go to work.
You just make a bunch of paintings, like they do.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Exactly. So. You can't age up. You have to allow, like, your children to hit that age point. You can't just age them up. So they have to be, like, it has to be, like, so-and-so's birthday. They can age up now. And they have to have all of the toddler skills. They have to be level 3 on all of the toddler skills. So I think that's potty, communication, and mobility. And then children and teenagers have to be A's, get all A's in school. So, like, it's not like you can just, and there's more rules. There's a bunch of different rules. But it's not like you can just auto-age them up. Because, like, honestly, like, when they're a baby, you can auto-age them up. You can just age them up to toddler. So they're not a baby.
None of my characters have had children yet.
And then once they age up to toddler, you can auto-age them up to a child or a teenager. So you can't do that. They have to meet these certain milestones, and you have to have 100 kids.
How far along are you?
I haven't started it yet. I keep, like, hemming and hawing about it. Because I want to go through, like, I'm reading all the rules, and I'm like, fuck, this is going to be hard. And, like, so, like, there's rules if you're an occult person. So if you're a vampire, there's rules if you have an occult baby that it counts as 2 babies. I don't know. But, like, it's weird. So, like, I've been watching it on BuzzFeed. Like, so she's up to episode 4, and I think she's got 5 kids.
And it sounds just really time consuming.
Right.
I guess it gives you, like, it gives you an objective in a game that
right.
doesn't have,
doesn't really,
like,
have an objective.
A strict objective.
Well,
right.
Yeah. I mean, so... I'm happy that I gave myself the extra money by using the motherlode cheat code so that I could achieve the goal of building the veterinary clinic. Although at the same time, I do feel as though
you cheated yourself.
It's taking away from needing to do certain things in order to earn money to progress in the game. Now, your character died. And I haven't rebuilt you. I figured I'd wait until we're together and you could rebuild yourself because you created yourself.
I did.
Kaylee is very happy and healthy, by the way. We have a great relationship as we do in real life. Me and my dog are very close. She even visits when I'm at the veterinarian clinic. It's very, very vampiric. And I got married recently. To some dude, and I don't remember his name, but he has a very, like...
How does that make you feel?
Wannabe modern punk rock scene boy haircut, and apparently he's a vampire, too. His name begins with a C. I just don't remember it.
Way to go. Way to start a...
Well, I mean, I would have created a Chris, but You know,
the guy's name starts with a C. It's close enough.
It's close enough. But we've expanded our house, and to date, no children. So still following around the same guidelines as real life.
Well, so the 100 baby challenge, you can't get married.
No.
You can't get married, can't have a boyfriend, can't have a man.
I got married in a black wedding dress.
Of course you did.
Yes, I did. With an adorable little short red haircut. It was so cute.
I think we're...
I just don't know anything about The Sims.
No. Like, yeah. No, it's fine. So, and I've tried to show Chris my computer screen from time to time again when things are very exciting. I need to buy the expansion that allows me to have aliens come into the world because I think that would add a fun element to it.
My first one got abducted. Like, my
how?
Like,
did you buy that?
No! Like, an hour into playing, she goes, like, it auto-generates, like, I'm going, like, your person is going to check out weird lights in the sky, and she goes out her front door and gets abducted and is gone for like 6 hours.
I'm really jealous. Oh, wow. I'm really jealous. I want to be abducted by aliens. Why isn't this happening to me?
I don't know.
I'm really upset right now.
But it was gone for 6 hours. I'm like, but this is the only sim I'm playing with right now.
The only thing I'm okay. So I'm a vampire who has never fed off of a living human before. I just keep eating these plasma packs, and I'm like...
So, in real life...
I want to True Blood the shit out of somebody.
I was going to say, in true life, you are a vampire vegetarian. You're Twilight.
Unfortunately, I'm some sparkly little shit instead of being awesome like in True Blood.
No, but if you go out in the sun, you still die.
Don't just sparkle. Sarah died. No, she freaking embered to death.
I also want to do what Giant Bomb did and do, the 13 Deadly Sims.
I have a very nice tombstone for you in the garden, next to the plasma fruit trees that feed us, and Kaylee's little doggy jungle gym thing.
Yeah, the 13 Deadly Sins was a giant bomb.
That did seem fun.
Having to figure out, all right, well, how am I going to team this person to death?
Mm-hmm. Well, for a good, I don't know, at least two episodes of that show, they were trying to figure out how to electrocute the guy in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
He had to repair something in the kitchen.
I mean, it got to a point where they literally built a room with no door. Well, they got him into the room and then took the door away. And then in the room, they put a bunch of broken radios and other broken items and had a pipe leak so that it was just constantly spraying water into the room and kept making him try and fix the stuff.
Yeah.
And then every so often, they'd put, a toilet in there so that he could go to the bathroom.
So he didn't die of...
Yeah, that's basically what they ended up doing was at a certain point for some of the things that required specific things to happen, they would just isolate people into a room, take the door away, and occasionally give them a little kitchenette or a bathroom so that they could sustain themselves. Because I think that one was one of the hard ones, and then dying of laughter.
Yeah.
Well, and the electrocute one is hard because... as he was actually not failing at repairing the things, he's getting better.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder to fail at repairing the thing to get electrocuted. So
I think my favorite one was then they had to kill somebody by woohoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they woohooed in a bush that somebody had thrown up in.
Well, somebody came and threw up in it while they were woohooing.
Was it? No. Somebody threw up in the bush. And then they went and woohooed in the bush that somebody had thrown up in.
That sounds like a really horrible frat party.
Yeah.
And that ran pretty well on you were using the Steam Link most of the time to play Sims 4.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was running after I figured out that it was unplugged. 10 minutes, I'm walking back and forth from our front room to the back room, trying to figure out why this thing won't link. And then I look, finally get down, and I'm like, oh, it's not plugged in. I'm getting annoyed with him because he's telling me to try this, and nothing worked.
I was at work.
Yeah.
So she's emailing me, and I'm like, oh, I don't, here's the couple things it could be.
I didn't realize he unplugged it.
That's the only way to not have it just always be on.
Oh, there's no power down for it?
No.
Way to stop your wife from having fun, Drew.
She got it figured out.
I figured it out.
So the thing that it kind of sucks for me is that I'm playing on my laptop, which I have an amazing laptop. It's great for my common interests, photography, editing photos, Photoshop. Not so great for playing Sims. It overheats very quickly.
Yeah.
So I get to play for 15 to 20 minutes at a time.
And then you're searing your thighs.
I know. Well, I've started finding creative ways to balance the laptop so that the fan has the most ventilation possible going to it at one point in time.
You know they make these things.
They're called. I know. I cool know. I've seen.
They don't.
They don't help.
No, they don't.
So I get 15, 20 minutes in and I start to feel the surfaces of my laptop and I'm like, great. Well, it's too hot. And if I keep playing, I'm going to burn out another computer because I've done that before.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Sims is just such a big game.
That was that other laptop was a different situation though. Like you had it on your lap while you had a blanket on your lap, and the blanket was covering every vent on it.
That's my life.
But anything else other than the Sims?
Sims. That's really all. I started. My brother gave me
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, gave me the Kingdom Hearts games to play. So I started playing it, but I guess
they didn't age real well.
No, but like I like the games, and I never played them all the way through as a kid because my brother would blitz through them and then go like trade them in at GameStop. So I never got to play them. So like this is my time, but like I get so frustrated because there's no like it's an open world without being an open world.
Yeah.
So like there's no, it doesn't direct you where to go. So you can spend 7 hours in Traverse Town and not get anywhere.
So which like version of the game did you get? The 1.5, 2.5 HD remix?
Yeah. So that, like
that's got like almost all of the games.
Right.
I think he also let us borrow the 2.8 thing.
Final Prologue Chapter Zero Remix. Yeah.
But like that's what frustrates me the most about the game is just like it's open, but it's not, like, you can only go, you have to finish all this stuff in Traverse Town, and then you can go to different places, but the fuck am I supposed to do in Traverse Town? Like, I've met up with people, I'm killing Heartless, the fuck am I supposed to do?
I think the first one was particularly bad for that. I feel like it did get better in the second one, but I don't remember, because I have not played that game in over a decade. But
That's all I was doing. Sims and that. And playing Lego. Any of the Lego games. What did I just get? I got, Lego Harry Potter. Yeah. one, it's the double pack. So, it's all of them.
Those games were good. Like, the Lego games are fun.
I love the Lego games. They're so much fun. And I thought I was going to hate when they started talking, and I didn't.
They're more fun when you play them alone. They're less fun when you play them with somebody else who's exponentially better at video games than you.
Yes.
Some like the Marvel superhero one was kind of frustrating too because it did that screen rotate thing.
Yeah.
So it was hard to follow your character if like one character was on the ground and the other one could fly. Because then, like, the screen would actually rotate around itself and, like, orient you based on, like, where you were in the game, not where you were sitting.
I got Marvel Super Heroes 2, which was...
Oh, I forgot that they made a sequel.
Which was, like, Ragnarok and...
Guardians.
And, like, all of that. And, like, I didn't like... The world was too big because it, like, it ends up getting broken up. So you have, like, you have New York City and you have Asgard and you have all these other places and like there's too much because like I like the original one where it was just New York City and you could go around and there was a bunch of stuff to do within New York City and within the other places and it was this one was a little bit more frustrating.
Drew, how about you?
Some NHL 19. I forget if I've talked about that
probably.
Since I got that.
Probably
not. In the you have talked about I've a little bit. To.
Like you're talking about the
1v1.
I almost said 3v3. I'm like, no, that's not how that works.
No, I mean there is a 3v3 mode.
Yeah, but I was thinking of the 1v1v1.
Yeah, plugging away at that a little bit. The team I want to make for the franchise mode, there's not a good logo for it. I want to be the Seattle Salmon, but there's not a good logo.
Do they just have a bunch of like logos you can use?
So you can use any of the current NHL logos, which why the fuck would you use a current team's logo? Like if you're redesigning one of the teams, sure, obviously you would use their logo. There's a lot of old logos. So like Quebec Nordiques, Kansas City Scouts, Hartford Whalers. Weirdly, in the vintage logos, the Vegas Golden Knights, like... secondary logo that is on the sleeves of their jerseys, that's in the vintage NHL logos, even though it's a logo that, you know,
like, has it's been around for, what, 2 years?
Yeah. Then there are, like, the same 20 logos that EA has used in all of their sports games for the last 25 years, going back to, like, Madden 2003, 2004, and then, like, another 40 newer, like, just made-up logos. But then also you can use some of the ECHL team logos, which most of them are pretty bad. But there is one, like, I have kind of wanted to use the Toledo Walleyes logo, because it's just a fish with a hockey stick and a helmet. But it has a big T in the background, and I'm like,
that doesn't work.
It doesn't really work if I'm going to be Seattle, because, like...
Not unless you wanted to be the Seattle Tunas.
No.
I mean, like, you could be.
I could be, but...
But he specifically wants to be the Seattle Salmon.
It's not tunas they're throwing around every time they show the fish market in Seattle. It's salmon.
I know, but is the common person in America smart enough to know the difference?
Do you know how big a tuna is? Tunas are big.
Is the common American
smart
enough to know the difference?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true because most Americans will assume that it's just the size of a very can.
Nope, because guess what they do? You know how they put the tuna in those cans? They punch it out of the tuna. Honestly, the ones in the pouch are better. Pouch is better.
No, they have, well, one, they have flavors. Two, they're healthier for you.
And three, they're pink, not gray.
But apparently one of the names of the Seattle team coming in 2020 might be the Sockeyes for the Sockeye Salmon.
I actually didn't realize that. For some reason, I thought Seattle had a team, and now I remember they just got approved for an expansion team.
I mean, they had a team way back in the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're getting an expansion team, which is why... When it did the franchise mode, I'm like, all right, I'll just be Seattle since that's actually going to be the team.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll be the Salmon and I'll be fucking pink and green. I actually did want to do Sockeye, but they have a bunch of preset announcer names that, like, they just had their announcers go in and record a bunch of extra names beyond
the... Oh, that's kind of cool.
Like, the teams that are actually in the game. Sockeyes is not on there, but Salmon is... So I was like, all right, I'll settle on Salmon. But I'm like, there's not a fucking good logo. Because I would have been like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll be a weird pink and green team.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? I'll make this work.
Anything other than NHL?
Plugging away at Dead Cells. I'm more consistently getting to the end.
Oh, nice. So are you up to the final boss?
The last two times I've played, I've had a run where I got to the final boss. One of them, I had a good setup. I got to the last room where, like, you cash in your cells and do your upgrades and refill your potion bottle, and forgot to refill my potion bottle.
Aww.
So I went into the final boss fight with one use of my 4-use health potion instead of 4 full uses.
Oh, that sucks.
That does suck.
So Dead Cells is a roguelike, which every time you die, you start the game over as a different character. Basically.
That's really frustrating.
Sarah would rage quit it.
Probably.
All the time.
That's why I don't play them.
I am notorious. I'm a notorious rage quitter.
Do you have progress if you have to start from the beginning?
Yes and no.
Also, to get to the final boss, I've gotten to him in 27 minutes. Like... The game's not incredibly long.
I'm sorry. You have to play for a half an hour before you hit the boss and just start over?
Yeah, there are games, the Kingdom Hearts, you can not even get to a fight, die in the first fight, and have lost an hour of
progress. I'm still going to agree with Sarah on this. I would quit.
Yeah, so
I am not used to playing games any longer in my life that require me playing several hours worth of gameplay to die and have to start over.
Well, I mean, this is 27 minutes.
This is 27 minutes.
It's a half an hour.
That feels like several hours to some people.
But it's... So that's what roguelikes are. It's kind of like a one and done.
When you said roguelike, I got really excited and I thought it was going to be something I'd like.
No, so they're called roguelikes because there was this game way back, I want to say it's in the 80s, called Rogue. It's a text-based adventure game where you start and you go through the adventure, and if you die, that's it. Character's dead. Start a new game.
And most roguelikes now have sort of like the story based around it. Like, you die, you come back for a reason, or you come back as like a different character that's like an ancestor of the one who died.
My perception of this was that when you said roguelike, I thought you legitimately meant play a roguelike character.
In Rogue, you do.
Yeah.
So in this, like, you're this weird animated corpse that keeps coming back.
Cool!
Yeah.
Yay, zombie mode!
And so all the levels are randomly generated. But, so like, you start out in this prison. There are always two exits out of the prison, always to the same two areas. And you can go to either one, and then each of those has their own, like, two or three different exits that are always in the level, but the actual layout of the level is not always the same. And the items that drop will be different, or that you find throughout the game. And you're unlocking more and more weapons as you go, and different abilities. And when you get to the end of a level the first three times, like, you get a upgrade for the rest of that run. You get to choose between a bunch of different ones as you unlock them.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't there a game recently that came out where, like, that was kind of the similar premise? I want to say it was something Lord of the Rings, where if you fought something and didn't, and you died.
Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's okay. Kind of, like, slightly the opposite, like,
because that was, you would, if you didn't beat the thing, it would, you would come back and it would still recognize you.
Yeah,
it was called the Nemesis system. Okay. Where if you defeated, like, one of the leaders, eventually, like, somebody else would rise up to become a leader, but also if you didn't defeat them and they defeated you, they would remember you and they would become like your arch nemesis, basically.
Okay.
And also they may have, like, scars and whatnot. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't making shit up.
Nope. Anything else, though?
No. I haven't played anything else on the PS4. That's been it. Cool. One of these days I'm going to crack into Fallout New Vegas.
I really want to.
I've heard not good things.
Yeah, it's broke. It's actually broken right,
like,
now.
I've heard it's just a shell of a game.
Next year.
If you want a game where you do play for 30 minutes and then lose all of your progress, then you want to play Fallout 76.
No, I just got done saying that pisses me off.
Yeah. Then you don't want to play.
Yeah, Fallout 76 is not, like, it shouldn't have been released when it was released, but, like, next year it'll probably be a game worth playing if you like Fallout.
Maybe. Honestly, that's really disappointing considering the concept of the Fallout games.
They're interesting. They're fun. That's a game I rage quit.
Oh, yeah, you did try playing 3.
I've been
in the middle. And I got really angry and was like, I'm done! I quit! I'm done!
I've been in the middle of a sabbatical with Skyrim because I've been very frustrated about a point I get past.
Oh, you were frustrated playing Skyrim on your Alexa?
No, not my Alexa.
Were you doing something? Wasn't it Skyrim?
Yeah. Skyrim is on the Alexa. Yeah.
Skyrim is on the Alexa. No, the version. Okay, I was going to say.
I knew what you were talking about.
We tried it out a couple of times and it's basically D&D.
Yep.
But yeah. With no dice, yep. And it's no cool friends.
They did it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a very sad and lonely version of D&D with no dice and no friends and no Funyuns or Mountain Dew.
It's funny that they made that joke a real thing.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Like, they said it as a joke, and then, like, oh, look, they actually did it.
My, we have the Google Home. And our Google Home.
We have one of those, too!
Yeah, I got it for free from Spotify.
So did we.
Yeah.
Us, too.
I think I told you that they were doing the offer.
Maybe.
And it,
so now we have redundant equipment in our house. It's great.
Well, one you say, okay, Google, and the other say, hey, Alexa. Which I was trying to make sure I was saying it really quiet so nobody went off.
Thank you.
We have
two Alexas and a Google Home in the house. So.
So, to be fair, we only really bought one of the Alexas.
Right.
The Google Home was $1, and then I canceled Spotify. And then I don't use it.
Oh, I love Spotify.
And then the other Alexa we have came with the hub we have for, like, right, our smart stuff. So
ours now,
yeah,
is,
we have,
like,
a whole smart system.
So ours is now saying it can't connect to the internet, but it did it the Friday Drew and Erica were at D&D and I was home by myself. and it just starts talking, and it freaked me the fuck out. But then it was just like, I can't connect to the internet right now. Like, I don't care.
It also did it last night, and all three of our cats looked towards the kitchen, and were like,
on high alert. Fuck.
Okay, so your house is haunted, and
it's haunted by Google.
Yeah.
But Erica, what have you been up to?
I've been up to so many things. Sarah and I haven't even been on in a while. We've been living our lives and doing our thing, but I've been doing lots of things since, your last episode of recording. I got to play my second round of D&D.
Dork.
Nerd. Even that I'm not comfortable with. I like to refer to myself not as a nerd.
Use the correct vernacular.
Not as a nerd and not as a dork. I am a woman of vast and many interests. Okay? I am able to be classy and sophisticated and still love to kick people's asses in video games. But yes, so I got to play my second round event, campaign, whatever, session, I don't care what you want to call it, whatever tickles your fancy of D&D. That was fun. I liked that people seem to be getting a little bit more into role-playing aspect of the game, because ever since I decided to start to play, I've been watching Critical Role off and on, and I get it, voice actor, famous anime and stuff like that, so maybe possibly unrealistic expectations, but I think that the whole goofy, silly role-playing part makes the actual game more fun. And I'm learning a lot by watching Critical Role. I'm learning a lot by just actively playing with people who have been doing this for a lot longer than I have, since I did start until the past couple of months. So essentially at the age of 30 is when I started to play D&D. Before that, I thought that it was kind of like the end-all, be-all, bottomless pit of where I could fall in my nerddom. And since kind of just releasing myself, doing what I feel is interesting and fun, and I found that I really like D. I like that you can do anything you want with it. It's different for everybody during every session and chapter story. And hopefully anybody who plays has a good dungeon master. Richie's been the only dungeon master aside from the guy on Critical Role.
I'm sorry. I know.
I've never played with any other group or literally anything else. So aside from watching Critical Role and playing with this group, I have no experience. But Richie's a very good storyteller. He takes his time to make sure that what he's doing is interesting.
He's not here. You don't have to say nice things about him. He's not going to listen.
I know he's not going to listen. Personally, I know. I feel like he puts good effort in.
He does.
Do I wish he would finish the goddamn map? I wish he would finish the goddamn map, because like there's a good like a quarter of it that's just blank.
Is that intentional? So that
It was. He said eventually I'm going to get around to finishing this. I just haven't had the time to do it.
Yes, but it was intentionally not finished
at one point.
Like the map wasn't all drawn because they didn't know where everything was.
Okay.
And he didn't want them to, like,
know
where everything is. Like,
okay. But, like, the last time we got together, he basically said, eventually I'm going to get around to finishing this. I just haven't had the time to do it.
That same level of not done for almost a year now, or whatever it is. So he added a little more to it, I think, just after I joined.
Okay.
And that was the last time he's done anything.
So, side note, and I wanted to bring this up because you guys play D&D and you've seen this thing that I'm talking about. I've recently become obsessed with TikTok, which used to be Musical.ly.
Okay.
It's essentially New Vine.
Yes, it's New Vine. So the guy was, he was, It's a guy who, I guess, has a D&D group, and he just pretty much goes, like, for something to kind of, like, shake up your group, he does something called Suddenly Bears. And so he goes, and, like, he does, like, an exam, and he goes, all right, I need everybody to roll a saving throw. And then they're like, why? And he's like, because you're about to be attacked by 30 bears. And they're like, we're flying! So, like, I would love for Richie to do something like that for you guys. Just be like, you're in the middle of the ocean on a boat.
Ocean bears.
You're about to be attacked by 30 bears.
Oh, what is this? A boat is coming alongside you. Oh, and it's just bears.
Pirate bears. Okay, that
Do
would
they
be...
walk on their hind legs? No. Do they talk? No, they're bears.
That would be so fun and amazing.
How are they driving the boat? They're bears.
Can it be ocean puppies? Because I would love that.
Do you want to kill ocean puppies?
No, then you don't want
the ocean puppy boat.
I know. I don't want to fight the ocean puppy boat. I love puppies. That's why I want.
Also, the puppies aren't going to know how to drive this boat. Eventually, the ocean puppy boat will sink.
No, that's so sad. Stop, Rue.
We totally took a left turn there.
We really did. Now I'm sad.
Well, the puppies can't drive a boat.
Puppies can drive a boat. They have closer to opposable thumbs than bears.
Bears have paws.
Shh. I have a joke about bears. Bears are also way bigger.
I totally have a joke about a bear
that would come across, about bears that would come across in podcast form.
Bears can eat honey out of a jar. They can hold the jar and they can scoop. Have you never seen Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh is apparently a girl.
What?
I'm sorry. It's voiced by a male and also is a male.
No, I'm pretty sure I just saw something that Winnie the Pooh was a girl.
Okay, then it is unfortunate that she walks around with no pants on.
I could have sworn I've heard...
Piglet, I can see being a woman. Honestly, Eeyore... I could see Eeyore being a woman. Pooh? No.
I think I saw something silly.
Oh, yeah. Like, there are, like, Snopes has it listed as... So the claim is the famous children's character Winnie the Pooh is a female bear. It's mostly false.
Oh, okay. Yay,
Thank
Snopes.
God for that.
So
I have a mental breakdown over this.
So Polar Bear walks into a bar, and he goes to the bartender and goes, I want a gin... and tonic. And the bartender looks at him and goes, what's with the paws? And he goes, oh, I've had them all my life.
That's adorable.
It's so dumb, but it's so good.
Yeah, I love that.
But what else have you been up to?
Okay, so aside from the D&D stuff, which, again, very excited that I decided to branch into exploring this world. And honestly, since I started playing, the only thing I want to do is play more D&D. Doesn't necessarily have to be the same campaign. It can be a different campaign, different people. I think that would, you know, that would definitely
I'm not joining a D&D group with you.
But why not? No. But why?
But what if it was at our house?
Yeah, no. What if it was at your house?
Nope.
Why? Mm-mm. It's so fun.
Nope. I refuse to sink that low.
It's not dumb. No, okay. I've set a new bar of low, and I will tell you later after we have finished recording what my new bar of low is. But it is not D&D anymore.
Have you watched Critical Role?
No.
Watch Critical Role, and you might have a different...
I really don't have
Critical
any...
Critical Role I makes D&D zero interest in it. You know, the cool thing.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, I have no interest in ever playing D&D. Like, it's not for me. But, like, Critical Role is actually just super fun to watch. Watching it for just, like, the story and the way that they interact with each other is just fun. Because they're all friends and they all stay in character the whole time.
I think it might be a little easier for somebody who's starting out in a situation like mine if they were playing in a group of people where they knew everyone.
No.
No, it would.
No, I'm not kidding.
Because I would understand, one, people's personality quirks a little bit more, and two, not everybody in the group that we're playing in uses role-playing. Some people just are themselves with their character, and they kind of tell you what their character do.
Drew.
Actually, no.
No, Drew gets super into it.
No, Drew is... He has his moments where he's himself, but for the most part, like...
Also, that's a little more, again, with that with that group, not really, like,
I understand where Drew's coming from, when Drew's playing the three of them.
More than you, but it's not like playing the other group.
I've had some instances where it can be a little difficult for me to determine whether or not I should be, like, whether or not I shended, or whether or not it was them trying to roleplay, and they weren't being smart-ass to me, but their character was being smart-ass because their character is a smart-ass, and my character is a tiefling, which is not the favorite amongst the community of D&D.
I would take it as it's just the roleplay. All right. Then I'm gonna shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but still super fun. Interested to keep playing more and see where it goes. I've also been playing, since Christmas, Red Dead Redemption 2.
You played it, like, twice. You haven't played it in a month.
You don't know what I do when you're not around.
Have you played it since, like, the weekend after Christmas?
Yes. Yes, I have. Thank you very much. When you weren't home because you were out recording this podcast. I like the game. I like the open world story going on. I like what they've done with adding some random variables to it, depending on what path you decide to take. I hate the controls, and I'm not even going to go into details with that because I know that we've been beaten over the head with it over the last couple of months. Everybody's complaining of the thing, and coming from the perspective of somebody who primarily plays games similar to Red Dead and Red Dead Redemption 2, Skyrim, Fable, so on and so forth. Everything is there for me except the controls on this game. I feel like they made it overly complicated and way too touchy when they really could have smoothed everything out a little bit more, make it a more comfortable gameplay. I've also been playing Stardew Valley. Again, nothing recent. This is an older game. I think you said it's a PC version that was ported to the Switch.
Yeah, the PC game came out, I think, in 2015 or 2016.
I think it's...
And then it ported to some other stuff, like it ported like PS4 and Vita and stuff, 2017.
You can definitely tell that it was supposed to be a PC game, though, because when you're playing it at times, there's a mouse icon that pops up on your screen, depending on what...
Yeah. Oh, well, that's yeah, weird. That's
also,
weird.
If you move the right analog stick, your cursor shows up.
Yes.
kind of like it would if you were playing the game with a mouse and keyboard.
Right. Huh. So, I mean, kudos to them for figuring out how to port the PC game to a Switch system and make it, for the most part, pretty streamlined, you know, easy to play game. If you're familiar with Harvest Moon or Rune Factory, even, you'd be familiar with this game.
Game has a wizard.
It does have a wizard, but those games...
There's probably been a wizard in Harvest Moon at some point.
There have been a variable amount, a variety, and yes, large variables of weird magical creatures and islands that only appear if you reach certain levels in the game of certain things. With Harvest Moon, Sunshine Island, I think, was one of the more open games for that system. But Rune Factory, again, it's basically Harvest Moon and or Stardew Valley, but it has this steampunk, like, futuristic aspect to it where your monsters aren't really monsters, but they're machines.
Right, right.
The steampunk-esque. So, I'm having a lot of fun with Stardew Valley. I know it's not a newer game. I know it's not something that, you know, needs to be talked to in depthly, especially...
I mean, I don't know if any of us ever played
Stardew. Yeah, I've talked about Stardew a couple times. Okay. And I know, and Richie has played like 50 hours of it.
Wait, Richie played 50 hours of Stardew?
Yeah, on the Switch.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I made a critical mistake in the beginning. I didn't realize that with Stardew Valley, you had as much customization capability with your character that you actually get. So in the beginning with Stardew Valley, imagine playing The Sims. and creating a character.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick the hair type and the hair color and the outfit and the face structure and even what kind of pet you want. Stardew Valley is the very early, just after 8-bit gaming style, video game version of creating a sim character. And then after that, you literally have no capability to change anything whatsoever. You've made your character and that is it. I wanted to have a dog so I can name it Kaylee, and I didn't realize that I got to choose and thought I had to have a cat, and now I have a cat, and my cat's name is Miso.
That's a good name for a cat.
I love Miso!
Well, you also, so the game does, you don't just get the dog or cat when you start. You have to, like, meet certain, like, things. So it's, like, 1,000 gold has to have been earned by, and then, like...
By day 12.
Yeah, and, like, a couple other things, and, like, if you don't have that by day 12, the person just shows up to give you the dog or cat anyway.
Okay.
But, like, if you don't do that stuff and you get 12 days in, you're not going to restart to change to... Yeah.
So, with these games, Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon, RuneScape, you have a social capability to the game where you have to talk to people or give them gifts so often in order for them to become better friends with you, as you do in real life, unfortunately. but also you can build relationships with people to a romantic level, and you can get married, and you have kids, and then eventually, I think in this game, it's a little bit more it's a little bit more projective than that. Your kid grows up, doesn't it?
I don't think you have kids in it.
No, I thought you did.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so in Harvest Moon and Rune Factory, you have a child, and then at some point, I think in Harvest Moon, more recent games, your child can actually grow up, or at least to the point where it can do things on your farm. Maybe I'm misinformed.
Oh, no, yeah, apparently you can have kids.
Okay. Thought so.
Stardew.
I wouldn't have been surprised
if you couldn't, because I was pretty sure it was like a time on Stardew. Like,
no, it's open. It's just
you can play for in that game. So 10 minutes is 1 minute our time. So for every 1 minute that goes by in our life, 10 minutes goes by in theirs.
But that sucks. I think Drew meant like he thought there was actually like definitive end to it, but it's just after 3 years, your grandfather's ghost apparently shows up and grades your farm, but then you can just keep playing after.
Okay,
that. I'm gonna be honest with you, nobody plays that long. You eventually at some point,
Richie has 50 hours into it, so
you eventually get tired of it at some point, put it down, forget it exists, move on to the next game, and
find it 10 years later.
Yeah,
and be like, oh, look at this.
I've picked up old Harvest Moon games before, and I'm like, oh my god, I still have the system to play the game. I'm gonna play this. That was so much fun back then.
You brought up the
GameCube. I have played Harvest Moon's version of GameCube, GameCube's version of Harvest Moon so many times I can't even tell you.
You brought up the Switch, and I remembered an article that I had seen about the Switch, and then I went and looked for it, and it was from 2018. It's kind of not.
You should buy a Switch.
That's on our list. But the whole article was that the guy, when he was playing the Switch, he was playing Mario Kart, he was getting pain in his hand. And it turned out that he had a tumor in his hand.
Huh. Oh,
from playing the Switch?
No. He just had a tumor in his hand. And the vibrations playing Mario Kart were aggravating it. So that's what was causing the pain.
What I'm hearing here is that playing video games saves your life.
Found this tumor in his hands. And like... And they were saying, like, yeah, it was a slow-growing tumor. I don't think it was cancer, but it was a slow-growing tumor that the vibrations from playing video games actually accelerated it, its growth. Otherwise, it wouldn't have shown up as quickly.
So, again, what I'm hearing is that playing video games saves your life.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what caught my eye about it was they actually, somebody, cause he was like, I got the surgery, like, posted on Reddit, like, he got the surgery and he can't use his whatever hand it is. So, somebody had then posted a video of this guy made a single-handed thing for the Joy-Con so you could play it with one hand.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, somebody 3D printed it for him so he could still play while he was recovering from his surgery. It's pretty cool. Like, it just, like, it looks like it interlocks. So, like, how the Joy-Cons have, like, the sliding on either side.
Yeah.
It just slides into this piece.
Oh, so that it ends up being closer together rather than further
yeah,
apart.
So it's, like, it's more of, like, it's on a right angle, it looks like. So you can, like, hold it in your one hand and be able to do both.
Okay, that's awesome.
I don't know. I don't know exactly the, because, like, the picture was weird, so I don't know exactly the
definitely worth definitions. Looking into.
But it was cool. Like, yeah. I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Like, even though it was from last year, like, it's kind of crazy that, like, that vibration just bugged that tumor enough that it expanded any, like, got it, had to get it removed.
I mean, honestly, and to that point, if they can create a special Joy-Con for him to play video games, you know, what kind of technology could they come out with?
Doesn't
for other people?
Is it so, Microsoft?
Yeah, Microsoft has this like crazy super modular adaptive controller that instead of, I think the base thing, instead of having any button, just has like two big discs that
they're like touchpads, I think. Yeah, almost,
and you program them be different thing, and then it also has a bunch of different attachments that can plug into it.
Well, so it's got a, it's got quarter inch jacks, like the, like the big headphone jack,
yeah,
that you can basically plug anything into and program to it, so that like they make a bunch of different things for like people with like disabilities and stuff like that, that maybe like can't hold a controller correctly, that like, you know, like a pedal or something like that, where they could use their foot instead.
Right.
That you can plug it into this and program it for what you want the game to do on the Xbox.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I mean, the fact that we have that kind of technology out now is really impressive.
Yeah.
Holy shit, but there are a lot of ports on it.
Yeah, there are. I was going to say, do you have anything else?
Sorry.
Getting back to what I've done, I talked about Red Dead a little bit, nothing to really touch on. Stardew Valley, highly suggest playing that. And Sims, which Sarah already talked about. I've been playing The Sims 4.
It's so easy to get addicted to that.
I only started playing Sims 4 because Sarah was like, hey, EA's having a huge sale right now. And I went to go look at it, and I was like, wait a second, $6 for the deluxe edition, and everything's like 50% off. I have to buy this. So I did, and then I got addicted, and now I'm trying to rotate everything on a pretty even basis so that I'm not playing too much of any one game at any point in time to get sick of anything. But I have found that I with The Sims, with Stardew Valley, with the television shows we have, and with my Empires and Puzzles app on my phone that I've been playing for the last few months, Red Dead got pushed to the back burner a little bit, but only because it's not on a handheld console device. It's part of the TV. So that would require you having other stuff to do or not being home or whatever, because normally when you're home, we're watching shows together. So it just has been something that I haven't really touched upon lately. But I don't know. I'll probably try and play again next week when you record your next episode or something.
Anything else?
No. I'm really excited to watch the new Black Mirror movie when we get around to that. The live...
the Bandersnatch thing? The choose your own adventure?
Yep. Refuse to hear. I do not want to hear a single spoiler about it.
I heard actually really good things about it.
I want to be able to experience it without any added opinions.
It's a roguelike.
I mean, kind of.
My character in D&D is a roguelike too. That doesn't mean very much.
But so I've been playing a real hot new title.
Oh.
Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh. taking it back to 1988.
1990 in the U.S.
Oh, was it really?
89 in Japan, okay. If I remember correctly.
Are you playing this on one of our classic devices?
No, on the Switch. It's really? Part of the thing I told you about, the Nintendo Online thing.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that we can play for free right now, right?
Well, it's not for free. Like, it was like $20 for the year.
That's
it
a
is
lot.
Also on
yeah.
NES.
It's on the home screen, though.
Yeah.
I'm not playing $20 to play that.
No. So I purchased it.
He already did.
So it comes with the Nintendo Online subscription.
So to play games on the Switch online, Just you have to pay for a subscription, just right. like Xbox Live and PS Plus. But
based on what you're saying, is that because we have the family plan and you already bought it, I can play it too?
Yes.
Right.
That's good, because it would be redundant for both of us to pay $20 to play the same game.
It's almost amazing Nintendo didn't fuck that up.
Yeah.
No, it's not almost amazing. It is amazing Nintendo didn't fuck that up.
Yeah, and like, I signed up for it mostly for cloud saves. Because otherwise you were literally stuck with, if anything ever happens to your Switch, you're just shit out of luck, your saved games are gone. But at least now with the cloud saves, they're backed up.
It is 90 in the US, it was 88 in Japan.
Do you, okay. hear, you hear what he just did? He just basically made that he paid for it because...
No, I paid for it because I didn't want to lose my 80-hour Zelda right. save.
You said your cloud saves.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah.
The royal your.
Yeah. But yeah, Super Mario Bros. 3. I haven't actually played that game from start to finish, like, correctly.
What's correct?
Well, I was about to ask what correctly is.
Not getting the first two warp whistles and skipping everything the world ate.
Okay.
Since
so you're playing it wrong, then.
So I haven't played it from start to finish without skipping anything.
Right.
I don't know, in 20 years? Maybe more?
There's another rage quit game for me.
That is one of the easiest Mario games.
No, I don't have... Nope, I don't have the...
I would argue that no game is easy. Mario game.
So the
Mario World's super easy.
Yeah, the worst part about Mario... Well, it's not even about Mario 3, about playing with the Switch and handheld, is the buttons layout is shitty for, like, the X, A, B, X, Y. And the game only uses A and B, and it's just... Well, so by default, it's A and B, so it's just uncomfortable to hold your hand the way you would have to for that. Y and A will also work, like Y alternates as B. So, like, you can hold it that way. What I keep doing, though, is accidentally moving my hand wrong and hitting X and B, which literally do nothing.
Yeah.
So, I'll go running, I'll be holding X running, and I'll hit B to jump, and it won't jump, and I'll run right into a fucking pit or right into an enemy. And
sounds like you need to buy those unnecessarily expensive NES controllers for your Switch.
Nope. Because then I wouldn't be playing it in handheld mode. I mean, I guess I could try to play it in handheld mode, but that would be fucking weird.
Yeah, at that point, why not just play it on the TV?
Yeah, but like, the game lets you do save states. So I've just come, like, I make a save state after I beat a level in case I fuck up like that. I've also had a few things where I've accidentally, doing that same thing, like hitting the wrong button like that, I have accidentally used a warp whistle, and I don't mean to, so then I just reset to my last save state, and occasionally I lose like a level or two, but the levels are so short, it literally takes under a minute to get through 90% of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think 20 minutes was my Super Mario World run that I did.
Yeah, because all you have to do is get to Star Road and complete Star Road, and then you're at the castle.
Yep.
But like the levels in Mario 3 are, I forgot how short they were until I was actually playing it. And like there are some levels where like the level ends, I'm like, oh, really? And like there are a handful that like I have had issue with, but that game just kind of throws extra lives at you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now I have over 40 extra lives, and I haven't even been trying for them. Like, you just kind of accumulate them.
I mean, after every three levels, you are guaranteed to get one.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like I don't load my my save states after death or anything like that. Like if I die, I die. I go back into the level. I only load them if like I fuck up and don't want to
hit the wrong button.
Yeah, hit the wrong button, accidentally use a warp whistle, like something like that. But yeah, like it is absurd how easy it is. Like. Every time I get to an airship, I'm like, oh, I wonder if this one's going to be hard. And, like, no. And even like, the Koopa kids, like, in them, like, by the time I get to them, I'm not big Mario anymore. So I only really have, like, if I get hit once, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the spike guys in the actual, like, fortresses, like, the mid-level castles, they're usually harder than the Koopa kids. Like, the hardest Koopa kid I had was, I don't remember which named it one it was, but it was the one that stomps when it jumps, and it actually, like, freezes you in place if you, if you don't jump at the right time. That was the most complicated one I had. But, yeah, it's Mario Bros. 3. It's fun to actually play through that game, like, and not just skip right to World 8, because I kind of forgot how cool some of the worlds were.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to, like, the world where everything is giant.
Yeah, that one's
like,
fun.
Stuff like that is just kind of neat. And, like, the different suits and stuff, like the frog suit, the tanuki suit, just the raccoon tail.
I always forget that there's, like, the... Is it a Hammer Brothers suit? Or is it just like a Beetle suit? There's definitely one where you get a shell.
I don't know, because I haven't gotten that one yet.
Huh. That might be in, like, World 7.
Actually, you know what? I think I may have just gotten one of those out of one of the Toad House chests.
Okay.
I just haven't used it. But then there's, like, the clouds, like, to, like, skip a level. Like, I had done... So I had the thing happen where I beat, like, 4 stages, and then accidentally used a warp whistle, and had not saved.
Oops.
And one of those levels was just one of the... Like, it wasn't even a hard level. It was just frustrating, because it was, like... It was this puzzle level with pipes. And, like...
I vaguely remember this level.
Like, not hard at all, but it was, like... I don't want to spend 2 more minutes, like, running back and forth in this, jumping off the pipes, and hitting all the invisible blocks so that I can run across it. So I just used the cloud to just, like, skim over that one. I'm like, maybe I'll come back to it before I finish the land. But I'm just kind of taking my time. Like, I think I'm on world 6 or 7 right now.
Okay.
So, like, I only have one or 2 more worlds to go at most. Other than that, I read the Justice League Aquaman Drowned Earth story. It was, like, 4 or 5 issues across the 2 books. Every time they're trying to do, like, an Aquaman event in DC Comics, the solution is pair it up with the Justice League and have something happen that literally floods the Earth. Like, this is the 2nd or 3rd one in the last, like, 5 or 6 years where, like, the villain of the story has somehow flooded at least a portion of the Earth.
Well, that only... The only time Aquaman is helpful is if there's water involved.
But that's not true. And, like, for most of this, he was in, like, another dimension powerless. So, but the reason I bring it up is there's one particular scene with Batman where prior to this storyline, Batman broke, like, every bone in his body.
Okay.
So he's literally in, like, this big bat suit right now. To, like, let him still move, but also, like, to help heal his bones in place. And so the League of Doom, or Legion of Doom, which is, like, Lex Luthor's group, right, where it's, like, the Joker and a bunch of other villains, they invade the Hall of Justice, where Batman still is during all the flooding, and Batman pops into it, wearing one of Lex Luthor's old, like, power armors, because the suit he's wearing isn't meant for battle. And he busts through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man. And then it's the Hall of Justice is part their headquarters, part like a museum for people to come like see stuff. And he busts in and he says, "Visiting hours are over, but I think there's an exhibit or two left I could show you." And then he says, "Right over here, we have the part of the hall where Batman kicked the asses of the Legion of Doom without using his arms or legs." And then, like...
That's not... Oh, yeah.
And then it, like... It skips to, like, another part of this, like, other characters, but it comes back to that, like, 10 issues later, and he has beaten all, like, 6 of them. One of them being, like, the Green Lantern villain that literally has one of the most powerful weapons in the universe. So, good on Batman.
Comics.
But Batman with preparation.
Yeah, exactly. Not much, but still. Other than that, I've actually both of us have watched a couple of things. We watched Deadly Class,
which was that.
It's really interesting.
It was only the first episode. It's set in the 1980s, and
what's
it's
it on?
Sci-fi.
Okay.
So it's based on a comic book of the same name that's currently running, where it's a school for assassins. Most of them are like members of. Like, organized crime, or, like, the CIA, like, it's the children of people, like, the children of Yakuza and mobsters and stuff like that are in the school to learn how to become, like, the best hitmen and assassins in the world. And, like, there's a handful of students that are literally just kind of, like, brought in unaffiliated. And at least the first episode followed a character who was kind of, like, brought in unaffiliated, like... It was thought that he murdered his parents, maybe, but it looks like, but his parents were literally died by, like, mistake. Like, a woman murdered, like, committed suicide by jumping off of a building and landed on his parents. So, in front of him.
Wow, awesome.
But, that's, like, right, that's the opening of the show. Like, that's kind of what they showed you. But, like, it was a weirdly interesting show. It's only one episode in, so it's hard to really, like...
Gauge it.
Yeah, but... It was,
I'm a fan so far.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, I like it enough to obviously watch more than one episode. I think it has potential, and I think the only thing that could really ruin it at this point would be maybe overly emphasize its origin, trying too hard to make it be like the comic story that it is derived from could ruin it. But right now I think it has a really good thing going for itself. And if they keep along a path of, you know, that they're on, it could work.
Yeah. And sci-fi, like, I don't watch many things on sci-fi, but I know a lot of their, like, original programming over the last, like, handful of years has been generally pretty well received. Like, I know people liked some of the, like, there was, like, a vampire show on there that people liked. We watched The Magicians, which is a sci-fi show that's actually pretty good.
No, yeah, it's a very...
Defiance was that...
Yeah, Defiance show. Was there. That apparently, people really liked the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Magicians, I would argue, is by far one of the most interesting television shows that I've watched since maybe Lost.
Yeah, Deadly Class, like, so far seems pretty cool after an episode.
I'm going to say I saw headlines that called it, like, Harry Potter, but assassins...
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. We also started watching The Passage. Are you okay?
Yes.
Oh.
Trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, we watched The Passage starring Zach Morris.
Oh, okay.
That. It's about not vampires.
That are vampires.
Yeah. So, the premise is Desmond from Lost has to go into the jungle to find a cure for his wife. And he brings his buddy along. And his buddy gets bitten by some sort of weird animal in, like, the South American cave jungle thing. And becomes a vampire.
Okay.
But not like a Dracula vampire. Like, he just kind of loses all sense of personality or anything and just becomes, like, this bloodthirsty monster. But he doesn't age anymore. Prior to kind of completely degrading to that state, like, apparently, like, his health just completely restored itself to, like, optimal levels, even though he's, like, a 50, 60-year-old something. And they keep testing this, like his blood on people. And, like, the younger the person is, the longer it takes before they degrade into, like, this monster. So, like, if it's, like, a 20-year-old they inject it in, the 20-year-old stays looking like their normal self and having most of, like, their facilities intact much longer than, like, he did. So the show, at least in these first few episodes, is they've been looking for this, like, 10-year-old girl whose mother died of an overdose that they're going to inject her with it to see how a 10-year-old handles it. So they think maybe this 10-year-old girl is young enough that it won't, like, kill her the way it's been turning everybody else.
And the main character of the show is trying to protect her from getting captured.
Which is Mark Paul Gosselaar. He's, like, an ex, like, Navy SEAL or something like that. That has actually been going around for this company doing these experiments, convincing, like, inmates and stuff like that on death row to sign up for this program.
Until he realized what was happening.
Yeah, well, until it was a child, because I guess he lost a child.
No, he did.
Yeah.
Not I guess, he did. They talked about it briefly in the beginning of the last episode that we watched.
And I know they mentioned it in the first one, too.
Yeah, him and his ex-wife, well, they're not exes yet. I think they're only separated. There's an option for reconciliation. She was begging him to come home. He was saying that he couldn't. They had some flashback memories. There was a child that got brought up. Clearly he lost that child, was responsible, X, Y, and Z.
But yeah, so it's actually a cool show.
Highly recommend it.
It's on Fox, so who knows if it'll make it past the first season.
True. Which is a shame.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool enough that, like, I'm interested to see where it goes. And then since I finished Naruto, I started watching Boruto, the sequel.
Why?
Why not? Because, like, why not?
He likes to read television, apparently.
It's not bad. Like, it's kind of a logical continuation, but it's also...
Reading television is redundant. There's no reason for it to be animated if you're gonna read it.
Well, like, it's not in English, so... But, it's not what I wanted it to be, but it's not bad. It's a little more... So it's more like the original Naruto, which was a little more lighthearted and, like, childish, which makes sense because they're, like, children.
Sure.
But, like, it also takes place, like, earlier in their lives than, like, the original Naruto series did.
Okay.
So, like, in the original Naruto, like, it started with them basically graduating and becoming ninjas.
Okay.
This show starts out with them entering the academy to become ninjas.
All right.
And, like, so far, it's actually been kind of cool. And it's had a couple storylines that involved, like, the characters from the original series heavily, which was nice because you kind of get to see where everyone has actually ended up and, like, how their characters have evolved over, like, the 15-year gap between the end of the show and where they're at now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very stark difference going from how kind of, like, dark the end of the show was with, like, literally it was a war. Right. Like, hundreds of thousands of people died, I think. or at least tens of thousands died. I forget how many, like, I think they had 80.
Lots of people died.
I think they had 80,000 troops and at least half of them died. To, like, yeah, a bunch of kids, like, just goofing off riding a train. but yeah, it's all right. It's ongoing too, so at some point I'll catch up and then probably not watch it again for years.
Sure. I've been having fun asking him what's going on without actually watching it. It's been great.
And then I watched the Dragon Ball Super movie, Broly.
Oh, okay.
It was really good. Like, they did it. you didn't even watch it. You don't know.
I hate Dragon Ball.
So Broly's been around since the 90s. Like, he was in three other movies that were never canon, because that's how those movies were back then. Mm-hmm. This is actually just a continuation of the Super, like, television series.
Right.
So it picks up after the end of the TV series and everything.
That it's still seriesing.
And, like, they made Broly...
like, the fourth different series.
Yeah, like...
And it's just so bad. GT, I don't know why anybody's still interested anymore. In this.
I don't know. After having been listening to All Systems Goku, I kind of want to watch Kai.
Yeah, Kai is fun. And
seriously?
The original Dragon Ball was, like, you would have liked the original Dragon Ball because it was, like, a goofy kind of, like, it had the action stuff, but it was mostly, like, a comedy show.
Dragon Ball?
Yeah. You mean? And Dragon Ball Z is where, and the problem is, like, what you would have seen on TV in, like, the early 2000s was the uncut Dragon Ball Z with all the filler. Dragon Ball Z Kai cuts all that out, so it's just the story.
Was it cut, like, almost 300 episodes or something?
So after you add in, so the Boo stuff that they're watching now actually didn't come out until, like, 5 years after they finished Kai. So Kai was originally 99 episodes or 95 episodes, and it was from the beginning of the series through the defeat of Cell.
Right.
It's another, like, 60 episodes of, like, the Boo series. So I want to say it's, like, 160-ish, 170-ish episodes total now, as opposed to 291 was the original series. So, like, they cut over 100 episodes out.
Yeah.
But, like, this movie was really cool. Because it made...
I've watched some of what you've watched.
It's not for you. That's fine. But, like, it was nice that they made Broly...
episode.
it was nice that they made Broly, like, an actual character. Because in the old movies, he was just kind of, like... He was just angry and had no purpose for doing what he was doing. But they actually... They redid the entire, like, history there. Like, he's not angry because Goku cried in a crib next to him. and the actual... The animation is probably some of the best that the series has ever done. At one point, Goku and Broly are fighting so hard that they literally punch each other into another dimension. And then they fight in this weird, colorful dimension for, like, 5 minutes before punching each other back into the original dimension. There was also just a bunch of, like, silly, like, self-referential humor. Like, they make fun of themselves for not having, like, sensu beans to, like, heal themselves after, like, these, like, strenuous fights. At one point, Goku literally, like... lures Broly into Frieza and then goes, Frieza, your turn, and then just takes off in the other direction and leaves Frieza to deal with him while he goes to, like, catch his breath and learn how to fuse. It also, like, they announced it before the movie, but they, this was the inclusion of Gogeta in canon too. So, like, it is the fusion of Goku and Vegeta that actually makes a difference. Cause the other one, Vegeta with the earrings, like, has never actually won a fight.
Oh, all right.
He got turned into candy and eaten by Boo. And he was so powerful that the earrings broke when they did it the last time. So, like, he almost beat the bad guy like that, and then the earrings broke, and they unfused, and the bad guy was fine.
I want to have the special people, Indy.
That's Boo. That is Boo's Boo. Great. Boo is actually one of the most fun characters.
But, like,
I don't want to watch the show. I just want to be able to turn people into candy, because when they're annoying me...
That would be a bad thing in our field.
What's fucked up, though, at one point, so... Boo goes around to
everybody
try...
would be black licorice.
Boo goes around to try and find out if people think he's pretty. He's basically... He's got the mind of a child, essentially.
Yep. I mean, he wears a giant diaper.
Yeah. And at one point, he finds a little blind boy who's trying to go buy milk. The boy is blind and young and has no idea what's going on with Boo and this monster, like, literally destroying whole cities on the planet.
I think he's wiped out two-thirds of the entire population of the planet.
So,
or something like that.
First, like, Boo asks him that, and the kid's like, I'm blind, I can't see you. So Boo heals him. First thing that this kid's ever seen is Boo, and he just goes, well, I've never seen anything else. I think you're pretty. And then, like, Boo, like, then he tells Boo he's trying to buy milk, and Boo, like, takes the coin from him, bites it, thinks it's candy, goes, this is gross, flies away, finds a person, turns the person into a carton of milk, and then takes the person that is now milk back to the boy and gives it to the little boy. He literally just gave that little boy a person made out of milk.
And took his money.
Yeah.
I tried to eat it.
Yeah.
Pretty dark.
Yeah, exactly. But then he John Wicks it, and he adopts a puppy, and then the puppy almost gets murdered, so he loses his shit, and that's when the world literally gets destroyed.
I can't say I blame him. I would destroy the world over my puppy, too.
But yeah, the Broly movie, like, I understand why it made so much, because it actually, like, even if you don't like the story of Dragon Ball, like, the animation is just really good, and it's a cool, like, it's a cool long fight sequence, as long as you know what you're getting into when you start watching it.
Although, so, while, yes, it was number 4 in the box office over the weekend, it made $9 million.
Still.
Like,
it made $9 million on just over 1,000 theaters.
Yes, and like, it's an impressive number for what it was, but it's not, like, a ton of money.
Yeah, but, like, you figure if it does that over the next few weeks, like, it's not going to make a ton of money, but it's making more money than, like, I think this is the last time an anime movie made money like this was, rated that high on the box office charts was, like, Spirited Away in 2000. It's just one of those things. It's like, wow, like, good for them, like, for releasing on so few theaters to have that sort of, like, income coming off of it. Like, that's cool. Like,
Spirited Away was
in the... No, it really was, but you figure in 20 years, like, the only other movie to make, like, to rank that high in the box office was this Dragon Ball movie. And, like, usually the Dragon Ball movies, like, not bad, but not great.
I mean, I wouldn't even go and see it, personally.
But, I mean, that's you. You don't like it.
There's not reason for me to like it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not for you. It's the same way that, like, I don't like Skyrim.
No. See, Skyrim has a lot more versatility to it than Dragon Ball does.
But, like, I think Skyrim's stupid. You think Dragon Ball's stupid.
I think that Dragon Ball's repetitive.
Skyrim is very repetitive.
It's not, though. I mean, at least there's, yeah, the amount of types of missions you can go on are limited, but the missions themselves are unique every time. Dragon Ball just kind of see the same thing over again.
I mean, that's... I mean, look, you like Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail's them fighting people the same way over and over again. That's shown in anime.
The characters are all
so different. Other than Goku, Dragon Ball actually has a bunch of cool characters. Goku just sucks. And that's why it's a shame that he is, like, the character they always focus around. Like, the episodes that focus on other characters are actually cool. Because, like, the other characters are interesting. Even, like, Vegeta, Vegeta has the best character arc. Because he starts out as this self-absorbed, egotistical, fucking mass murderer. And by the time, like, this movie came out, like, he isn't worried about fighting to get stronger for, like, just the sake of being stronger. He wants to fight to get stronger to make sure that he can protect his family.
So, I mean, if you want to touch on Fairy Tail for a second, it's actually kind of funny because their characters aren't necessarily what they're made out to be. Like, Ursa, when they first talk about her, they don't introduce her for a little while. You actually have quite a bit of episodes before they bring her character in.
Yeah, she's mentioned in, like, 2 or 3 episodes before they actually, like, show her.
But when they finally start to show her, they've built her up to be this, like, really intimidating, scary, masculine, badass woman. And then you meet her, and she's really more motherly slash big sister than she is, like, this super scary, intimidating, oh my god, I don't know what I'm going to do if she walks through the front door kind of person, which they tried to make her out to be. But the one of the other female main characters is supposed to be super sweet and nice and innocent and doesn't really know a lot about the world, also not about the wizarding world, but she's the one who ends up being astronomically more angry and temperamental and easily pissed off. She goes from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. She's the one that ends up, like, as you watch the show, she's always going to explode before Ursa does, but yet she was the one they really built up to be this scary character, and she's the most, like, nurturing out of all of them.
But I think that's going to do it for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fairy Tail's cool.
Fairy Tail's cool. Still super excited about the fact that Sarah and I wore Batman shirts without even trying to wear Batman shirts together.
My Batman shirt has cats.
My Batman shirt's from Goodwill. Recycle. Yeah, no, it's got,
like, cats in the
outline.
No, it's this super awesome blue, like, vintage dyed Batman shirt, but I bought it from a thrift store. But yeah, yours is made up of cats.
Yep.
Yeah, Batman.
Still awesome. No, I didn't realize it until we were sitting here and I was looking over and I saw her shirt and I'm like, hey, Batman.
But yeah, so if you'd like to find more of our stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can support us at patreon.com/onequest. We're on social medias like facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Twitter and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., etc. And you can send us emails, social@one-quest.com. But other than that, we'll be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.